There's certain things in life that we try to run away from and we try to hide from. And especially, like, you know, when you look at where we're at today, the current climate of the NFL, the players, all these situations, the allegations, it's sad that, you know, there was a time back in the day where people with influence, you know, are professional athletes, you know, entertainers, governors, they were like civil rights leaders. You know, they had a voice. Now it's sad because of, you know, endorsement deals, because of contracts and because of public, you know, approval, you know, we run away from certain topics. And last week I found myself, you know, running away from it too. And that's not me. You know, I love controversy because it's an opportunity, it's a platform to talk about some of these issues that really needs to have light shed on it. I grew up in a house, better yet, an environment, a neighborhood where it was volatile, there was domestic violence. My mother was not only physically abused, mentally abused, but she was sexually assaulted. My view on the NFL and this current climate that we're in, I think it's a shame. But I do love and respect what we're doing because the NFL, we all know, has the ability to transform lives, to transform communities. We have influence. We have influence to really shape and mold a culture. So these issues, you know, whether we're wearing lime green on the field, pink, orange, whatever, I think that is sweet. You know, I love it because the amount of awareness and the amount of influence we have can really, you know, dictate a lot. But what I am disgusted over, and I really believe it's not a issue of domestic violence. It's not an issue of, you know, child abuse or, you know, drunken driving. It's really an issue of the condition of our hearts as people, you know, the way we treat one another. It's really tough because in situations like this, you're not going to hear people defend themselves. There's just certain things where if you get defensive, if you speak your mind, you're going to be judged and you're going to make yourself look even worse. And for 6 or 7 years, I've sat back and, you know, accepted my part in everything that I've done, everything that I've been a part of. And I've listened to representatives say, you know, listen, you can't win this one. And you can't. There's no need to try to win it. But I refuse to sit back and continue to let, you know, ESPN or any other network or outlet exploit my story because they don't know the real story. ESPN really does know the story because they were sent those packets that you guys have with both sides of it. And that's what's so upsetting is when someone can sit in my living room and look at me and my wife in our eyes and say, listen, this story is about what you guys are doing today, the mentorship, or this is about your camp, this is about your community weekend, and they use our story to sensationalize it to sell magazines or to get better ratings. And it's time to stop. But I just wanted to sit up here today and just say that I think that ESPN owes my wife and I an apology because that's the third time they did it. They had access to all of these things, the demand letters, testimony from judges and bailiffs, you know, about the pictures that they showed on ESPN depicting a black eye where a judge and a bailiff talks about how those were false. You know, and this is unpopular what I'm doing. You know, there's going to be a lot of people criticizing me, but it's been 6, 7 years, and I haven't said anything. I thought that, you know, giving this stuff to the network, ESPN, you know, they would tell the right story just to show my side, just to show, you know, both, so everyone can heal and grow from this. But they didn't. They didn't choose to do that.